Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Help me as I am, Lord, a sinner. That's an interesting sermon title, isn't it? Well, today we're going to look at God's admonition, in other words, when he chewed out Adam and Eve and the serpent. And we're going to look at the three uses of the law as is stated in the Small Catechism. All right, well, Luther wrote that the law was given by God first of all to restrain sins by threats and fear of punishment. All right, so you stop and think, isn't that what the law is supposed to do? That's the law that we have in the civilian world, is to restrain sins by threats and fear of punishment. That's the first use. Now, the second use is this. The chief function or power of the law is to make original sin manifest and show man to what other depths his nature has fallen. All right, so you got some pretty heavy law there, don't we? Well, the third use of the law is what's really important to us as Christians. But the first and second uses of the law are important to us too. Well, here is how it was discussed in the Catechism and the Big Book of Theology, in other words, our Book of Concord. Now, I want to thank Pastor Ryan C. McPherson for his take on this. Now, here's how he describes the third use of the law. In the large catechism, you know, the Book of Concord is a big book, and in it are seven smaller books. This is the Book of Theology that we have for the Lutheran Church. Now, there's two books of theology that we're trained in at the seminary, and I went to the Missouri Synod Seminary in Fort Wayne. Okay, Book of Concord, Luther, Catechism of the Catholic Church, done by Pope John Paul II. Okay, we had to pass, you can see, theology, it's in both of these. Why? Because there's a lot of things that are good in here. There's some things we disagree with. But you better know why, and why this is the way it is. And so that's why we do things that way. The large catechism was written for pastors. Small catechism is written for people who want to learn about the church. The large catechism is, hey, you better learn how to teach this. And so we are trained in that. You know, and it's just like everything else. I mean, the large catechism is this thick, and it's all small print. And it's one of those, you know, I wish I remembered everything I read. But I always got to turn around and reread it. It's just like I do the Bible. And every time I reread something, I pick up something new. Well, anyway, here's Pastor Ryan C. McPherson. The so-called third use of the law became even more apparent. Here Luther devoted more words to the discussion of the Ten Commandments than to all of the other chief parts combined. And his approach to those commandments emphasized how each Christian may apply the law specifically to himself or herself for guidelines to daily living. I like that explanation. So before we look at how the third law affects us in our daily living, let's look at how God applied the first two uses of the law to Adam and Eve. So pull up your bulletin for the Genesis reading. Let's take another look at it. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, and that's God, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? You think there's a little fear of punishment in that one? The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. Not my fault, it's her fault." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "Was it this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Hey, it's not my fault either, it's somebody else's fault. And so the Lord said to the servant, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life." That's right, God, don't hold back. How do you really feel? Now here's where we all said this together. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." We'll talk about that here in a minute. Because if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you." Cursed because of you. I always love hearing this story, because almost invariably the pastor will say, "It's the woman's fault." What does God say? Cursed because of you to Adam. Not because of her, because of you. You're the one that ate it. You can't pass the blame off. You done it. I hope you enjoyed it, because now you're going to pay the price for it. Pardon? No, but we're all inheritors of that. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles, that's easy for me to say, it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. All right, now I'm going to go back to Pastor McPherson. The law was given by God, first of all, to restrain sins by threats and the fear of punishment. Okay, we saw that in this reading, didn't we? That's that first use of the law. And that the chief function of power of the law is to make original sin manifest. I didn't do it, but yet Adam did. And because one man sinned, everything fell. We're going to talk about that from the epistle lesson here in a minute. And show man to what other depths his nature has fallen. That's the second use. Folks, when we are talking about the first and the second uses of the law, that's the punishment phase. You know, we are sinners. Okay? I lost a call to Titusville, Florida, because I called myself the CSIC, Chief Sinner in Church. Why? Because you don't put the pastor on a pedestal. He's a man. Okay? He tries his best, but he's still a man. He's still a sinner. You know, I think we've always had that Genesis reading with the story of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, because the two are related. I mean, I went through and checked the readings, and those two are always put together. Why? Because we're dealing, both of them, with temptation. Okay? And I mean, temptation is something we face every day. It's how we stand up to it that proves whether we're Christians or not. Yep. Well, since you brought it up, go ahead and quote it. Paraphrase it.
He speaks of when man sins, or when he falls away, either through neglect or either through dismissal. He said, "There is no temptation coming to you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but will with that temptation make a way to escape."
Amen. And that's the reason Jesus is here, is that means to escape eternal damnation. Okay, now let's pull up your gospel reading. Let's look at this, and we'll get into this a little bit deeper. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And I would imagine so. And again, what does 40 mean in the Bible? Trial. And say it again. Not tribulation, but it's trial and effect. It's things you got to work on. Okay? Like Lent is a 40-day period. Advent is a 40-day period. Okay? And there's reasons for that. And it's the reasons why we keep it at 40 days. Well, it's a cleansing, and it's a self.
40 years they circle around.
And, yeah, there's a lot more versions of that, too. I think it's time for me to reprint out the numbers in the Bible. You know, the thing is, it's so hard for us to understand numbers. Because in numerology, we don't follow it. We don't believe it. They did. And so when you see a number in the Bible, it's communicating something to people. Now, either we know what that communication is by studying, but we're not going to know it because we don't use it that way. Okay? But it's I don't want to call it a hidden meaning because it's right there in the open, but we got to understand what it is. Well, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Well, if he's hungry after 40 days, boy, what a temptation. But he answered, and that's Jesus. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now stop and think here. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Who is Jesus? The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1. Okay? So when we look at this, but every word, Jesus, that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, well, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You know, the devil knows the scripture just as well as Jesus or God. Yeah, why? Well, as Gene just said, he was up there. Okay. So when we look at Satan, you know, remember his real name is Lucifer, the shining one, the most beautiful angel. I know we see pictures of the devil with the horns and things like that. That came out of the Middle Ages because he had to scare the people. Okay. That's not what Satan looks like. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. What does it mean? Well, it means, well, how many times have I heard a prayer that says, and God, if you want this, or you'll give this to me. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. You know, many times we ask for things and it's in his time, not our time. You know, one of my biggest prayers is, God, I wish you'd fill me in on what's going to happen.
That's a country song. Thank God for unanswered prayer.
Oh, I like that. I don't know the song, but I like that.
Garth Brooks.
Is that what it is?
It's from Garth Brooks. The name of the song is Onions
of
Prayer.
Okay, I'll listen to that this week. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. Remember what he says to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Just be gone. Go. For it is written.
Huh? Take him to the train station.
Oh, no kidding. Here's your one-way ticket. Leave. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. Remember, I talked about that last week. All right, now, go to the front picture of your bulletin. And we're going to look at that saying on the top of there. Now remember, this is from a church window in Ephesus. And Ephesus was one of the centers of Christianity in the early church. It's in Turkey, okay? Which is now a Muslim country. Okay. There's a lot of things in Greek that we can figure out just because we can read it. Like the first word, attend. It doesn't have the D on it, but attend. That line with the OC under it is shorthand for angels. All right, so the angels are attending. IHC. Well, that's actually in Greek, IHS. You ever seen that on the front of an altar? Okay. It stands for Jesu Hominum. Yeah, right there. Jesu Hominum Salvatore. Jesus, the Savior of mankind, is what that stands for. Okay? So the thing is, we are surrounded by this stuff all the time. We just don't know what it means. But I look at that IHF, Jesus, Hominum Salvatore. Now, is that Greek or Latin? Latin. So we've got a Greek window with Latin in it. So when would this be? After Constantinople became the head of the Roman Empire. All right, so now we're looking probably around 500 or 600 AD when this was made. Okay, then the next one is Irenaeus. Irenaeus. Ever heard that word before? Okay. Irenaeus. It's got two things that you could be. How about Irene? Irene is what that word is, but they come from the same thing in it. Irene is peace. Or, excuse me. Yes, peace. Okay, Zoe is life. So Irene is peace. But it also, with this ending, is to minister. Alright? So, we have the angel attending Jesus, the Savior of mankind, who is who they are ministering to. Okay. Then we have Jesu Yuri Exon. Okay. Alright, so Christ Jesus, the Lord Himself is what it means. Boy, you read that, isn't that pretty heavy? Okay. I look at this kind of stuff and I am always amazed at how important these things are. You know, because Jesus, the Savior of humankind, mankind. What a blessing that is. And the thing is, we have that kind of, like I said, around us all the time, but we don't see it. All right. What does Jesus say to us? Well, He's the Savior of mankind. What is He going to do? Okay, who does He tell us He's going to send? Holy Spirit. Okay, and in John, He's called the Comforter. So the Holy Spirit is going to come to comfort us, to be with us, to help us. Okay. So now we're into the third use of the law. Now, in the Catechism, what does it say? Anybody remember? Look at the pastor. All right. First of all, it's a curve. Why is it a curve? Because we trip over it. We're sinners. We make the mistake, right? We trip. Then the next thing is a mirror. Okay. Why? Because we look in the mirror. What do we see? Which are sinners. We are a sinner. The third part of the third use of the law is it's a guide. Where does it guide us to? The gospel, the good news. That's the third use of the law. That's what Christ brought to us. That's what Christ earned on that cross, was the third use of the law. We are sinners. There's nothing we can do about that. We are sinners. But what did the cross bring us? Hope. Okay? Now, we still have our Advent banners up, but let's look back here at hope. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Isn't that important? Okay. Epsis is what that is. What do we call the letters? Epistles. Epsis in Greek. So what does the epistles mean? Hope. Hope. All those letters are hope for us, for eternal life, for our relationship with Jesus, for our love. And remember, when we are talking about love and forgiveness and things like that, you know, and the first thing I say, you know, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I forgive you all your sins. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit working through me. Okay? Now, it could work through you too. But what it is, Luther says, we have to be a conduit. What is a conduit to? It lets it pass through you. What happens if we take that conduit and stop it? Then we are not forgiven. Okay, you know who I'm pointing to. To forgive, you got to have a conduit. You got to pass it on. Well, I don't like you, so I'm not going to forgive you. You ever heard that? Okay. Was that conduit open or was it closed?
Closed.
So if you're not going to forgive him, you're not forgiven. If you're not going to pass on the good news to him, you're not going to be saved. Pastor Danny and I talked for what, about an hour last night? Anyway, he said, I would love to share my witness with you sometime. And we're going to do that. However, the thing is that with our time, I mean, we've got to be done here in 15 minutes. We just don't have time for it until we're here by ourselves. He's got a fascinating story. By the way, did you see him come in today? Did you see what he was using for?
No.
Two golf clubs.
Being a master teacher, I use these for.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, they actually were the right height for you. I was impressed with that.
Yes, sir, yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, anyway, before I let you go today, I want to share you a story, because just as the angels came to minister to Jesus, they minister to us. And I've shared this story with you before, and it's something that happened to Peggy. Peggy had a daughter that was sort of, how would you describe Rachel back then? Well, true. Anyway, she was not the nicest person. And Peggy was shopping at Walmart, just worried. Guy stops, talks to her, and he says, listen, you don't have to worry about Rachel. She's going to be all right. And he left. And Peggy, I think you went around to the next aisle to see him again. He wasn't there. Are angels among us?
Yes.
Okay. I know some of us have had experiences like that. Or you're driving your car, and all of a sudden, now I'm going to hold off, and somebody blows the stoplight. Yeah. Is the angel with you right then? Sure. Is the Holy Spirit with you right then? You know, we have those kind of experiences. Oh, it was just the timing. I lucked up. You lucked up not putting your foot on a green light. See what I'm getting at? Okay. That's the power of God that's in your lives. And we all have that as Christians. Amen. Amen. So as Christians, when we work with the Holy Spirit, we're talking about sanctification. That's that big Latin word that means what? To be made holy. Because if we are made holy, we are deserving of the cross. But are we always? No, we can lose our grace. You do something evil. Jeffrey Dahmer, good Lutheran boy. You think he lost his grace? But could we see him in heaven? If at the very end he turns to God, you know, and that guy is beating him to death and saying, Lord, help me. If you ask for it, it's given. Yeah, so who are we going to see in heaven, you know? But it's those kind of things that, you know, as Christians, forgiveness is important. Now, let's go to the epistle lesson so we can finish this up. And this is where I think we get our guidance for all this. And it's starting, for if because of one man's trespasses. It's toward the end. For if, because of one man's trespass, who's that? Adam. Death reigned through that one man. Much more will those who receive the abundance and grace and free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We lost our grace because of Adam. We gained our grace because of Jesus Christ, who paid the price. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us so that we might have what?
Eternal life.
Oh, man. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness, to be made righteous, leads to justification. There's that funny Latin word that means what? Forgiveness of sins. So the one act of righteousness leads to the forgiveness of our sins and life, eternal life for all men. For as the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. So, going back to my sermon title, okay, just as I am, Lord, sinner, we are sinners, just as we are. But Jesus told us there's hope for us. The Word that is Jesus made flesh and lives among us. The Word of God who came and walked with us. Which means our sins are forgiven and we are justified in the eyes of God. And eternal life for all of us. So how did the epistle finish the promise? For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So that by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is most certainly true. May this righteousness earned for us on the cross help us to remember what God did for us by sending his Son to the cross. Amen.